Welcome to the Baseball Insiders. I'm Adam Weinrub, joined by fansided MLB insider Robert Murray, where we get to the bottom of what everybody wants to talk about today. The release of the AL and NL All-Star jerseys. What the hell are those? No, let's get into it. From the comments, we can already tell that the emotions are running wild today. Congrats on the scoop, Robert. I want to die. Hey, Rob, did you get hacked? We will talk about it all. Rafael Devers is a San Francisco Giant. The deal was officially announced by both the Red Sox and Giants about an hour after the scoop dropped. And that scoop belonged to the one and only Robert Murray, who joins me on the show today. We're going to be breaking down how it happened, what it means, and what comes next. This is a Devers episode. Get your questions in, but of course, plenty to talk about. And Robert was gracious enough to join us less than 24 hours after. I mean, you got a lot of great scoops, man. That's the craziest of all time.
Yeah, that's my biggest scoop to date. And I appreciate the warm welcome, Adam. It's good to be here. Happy Monday, everybody. That was not something on my radar entering the day, and it happened very quickly. I cannot wait to break it all down because I want to give you guys behind the scenes look into how it broke or how I broke it and just what it means for both sides. So good to be here. Adam Weiner, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. My baseball team got swept over the weekend, and then that team that swept them traded the greatest Yankee killer since David Ortiz to the West Coast in a different league. So I'm good. I didn't believe it. I still don't fully believe it. I still can't. Comments are saying I have a smile. I just can't process it. There's too much to process. And the one and only Robert Murray broke it and broke it down in the Discord too. So if you aren't a member of the Baseball Insiders Discord, there's no greater example of the benefits than last night when everyone was trying to parse this out, piece it together. And there was Robert himself popping in, giving information about what went down, how real it was, whether or not he was hacked. The answer is no. So if you're not in the BI Discord, please join us there, especially as we approach trade deadline season about a month and a half earlier than we thought we would be approaching it. You should subscribe to the Moonshot too. That is Robert's and the Fanside MLB staff writers' collection of weekly roundup responses to the most trending topics in baseball. You can get that right to your inbox, or you can read it on fansided.com/baseball-insiders for the Baseball Insiders feed, for Robert's work, for my work, for the Fanside MLB staff writer team. They do a great job. But today is about the Devers news. Robert, we're going to get into, again, all the stuff we were going to talk about today. Oh, Aaron Civale got traded. Dodgers maybe lurking for Sandy Alcantara. Nope. Balling it up, throwing it into the trash can. Before we get into the repercussions, what this means for the AL and NL wildcard races, the Giants and Red Sox specifically, how did you scoop it? Where were you? How do you handle that? How many levels do you have to check to make sure it is the Luka trade and it's not just a prank? Because I got texted, Fansided broke this. Is this a prank? Then I feel responsibility. So I can't imagine how much responsibility you felt. Talk me through it, man. What was this?
It was unlike anything I've really experienced. I was chilling at home. I was watching some baseball. I was petting Cooper, who's my golden retriever, for those of you who are new to the program today.
Nice doggy.
And all of a sudden I get a phone call from somebody that does not typically call me. And I answer and I'm starting to talk and he's like, dude, shut up. And I'm like, what did I do? And he told me that Devers was being traded to the Giants for Kyle Harrison, Jordan Hicks, and more. And I'm like, you're kidding me. And he said, no, like go figure out if this is right. But he said it was right. Send one text, immediately get it confirmed, call somebody else. And it was indeed accurate. And I'm like, holy crap. I'm on the phone with the guy and I ask him four separate times, are you sure this is right? This is right. And he said, yes, like 100%, and go. And I send it. And immediately my phone stops working after a little while. I have Fabian Ardaya of The Athletic, who is Dodgers beat writer, was at the stadium where the Giants and Dodgers were about to play. And he asked me, did you get hacked? And I had probably 50 other people ask me this. And I'm like, no, I'm not hacked. This is real. And about 10 minutes go by and nobody's confirmed this thing. And I am kind of panicking. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? I mean, I was confident it was right, but I'm thinking like, this is very strange. Ultimately, it ended up getting confirmed. I knew it was right when I tweeted it because I wouldn't have tweeted it otherwise, but it was legitimately the most insane 24-hour stretch I've had since breaking a story. I've had probably about 700 texts. I've had people freaking out around baseball. I can get into the reactions later on in the show, but never have I experienced anything quite like that. And And now Rafael Devers is a San Francisco Giant. My dad is a huge Giants fan, so shout out to my dad. I did not orchestrate that trade for you on Father's Day, but it was a nice way to end his Father's Day for sure. Was able to call him after it all settled down, so that was pretty cool.
Well, and you ruined the lives of like thousands of Bostonian fathers at the exact same time. So it really, was it worth it? No, the answer is yes. It was 100% worth it. That's, and as a diehard fan of the Boston Red Sox myself, everybody knows this. Obviously, my heart was shattered. But new hope out west, this changes everything tremendously. And I think the reason why everyone thought that you were hacked, I mean, look, again, the comments are getting after it. We're talking about June. We're talking about June 15th. We're talking about 2 hours after the Red Sox swept the Yankees and sort of finally vaulted themselves over 500, got into the playoff race. We're talking about 2 hours after Devers commented on the Discord in the front office and between him and Cora and Breslow and John Henry, essentially saying the drama was over. That's like the last question he was asked as a member of the Boston Red Sox. And then it hits and the package, I mean, an impossible to value player with 8.5 years left of that contract and San Francisco taking on the full contract. So you can never be surprised that it looked a little light, but it looked a little light. Jordan Hicks on the IL, and he is owed $30 million over the next 2.5 years. Kyle Harrison, a top 25 prospect in baseball, but hasn't totally clicked at the big league level, though he is what the Red Sox need. They need a lefty like that in the four spot, you know, somewhere behind Crochet. And James Tibbs, top prospect, but an outfielder the Red Sox could have taken last year, didn't. They took Braden Montgomery. How many outfield prospects do the Red Sox need? So you get 50 messages saying you're hacked for good reason, because everyone's saying, why now? Why this package? And why not a lot of shopping and just this secret bomb drops where Buster Posey pulls this off? So what do you have to say about that? Just, you know, what about the timing? How is it possible that this happened in June? And I mean, you clearly took steps to prove that it was correct, but you were taken aback at first too. You thought you were getting pranked.
Oh, I thought I was getting pranked. Even after I tweeted it, I thought I was getting pranked. It was, it's such a sizable just move that you just don't expect that. It's a Luka Doncic trade of Major League Baseball. I have no problem saying that because it's a very real comparison. The shock value of the great player that Devers is, like, it is absolutely on the Luka level trade here. And I know it happened quickly for the Giants. Like, it was, they had been talking for a few weeks and it really started to pick up. And then right before the game started, Harrison was warming up in the bullpen and he was about to start against the Dodgers. And all of a sudden, like, this trade is happening. Like, players with the Giants are getting informed. Devers is informed and Harrison's still warming up. He ultimately was removed from the bullpen and told that he was being traded to the Boston Red Sox. And to my understanding, Harrison and some others were just completely taken aback by the move here. Like, they were just stunned that this was happening, and rightfully so, because you don't expect to be traded 15 minutes before you're starting on Sunday Night Baseball against the Los Angeles Dodgers. It was the biggest start of his career, and then he was on his way to Boston, and now he's going to AAA. But it was a move that's been coming for quite some time. It's basically, for the last few months, the relationship between Devers and the Red Sox has worsened. It's gotten worse and worse and worse. It has not gotten better. And Devers has been adamant about wanting to be at third base while the Red Sox wanted to move him all over. And he was adamant that he was not going to do that. And he made his comments public. And then John Henry was forced to fly to join the team on the road and talk to Devers. And overall, it was just, it was a situation where I don't believe they could have salvaged the relationship. It was too far gone. And the Red Sox, they didn't necessarily shop Devers. I think they were listening is the way that I would describe it. And Posey made that phone call a few weeks ago just to see what it was about and see what they could do. The Red Sox didn't turn him away. They continued to talk, and the two front offices ended up agreeing to this deal. And just the overall reaction from people around the league is that it's a great move for the Giants. It gives them a franchise-altering talent in Devers, who is just a tremendous talent, especially with his bat. He's one of the most gifted offensive players in baseball. But from the Red Sox's perspective, I've seen what Jeff Passan said. I've seen what other people have said, quoting executives, that this was a good trade for the Red Sox. I'm going to go in a bit of a different direction. And this goes against what some of these executives are telling me too. And the Red Sox, they signed Devers for a $313.5 million contract a little less than 2 years ago, around 2 years ago. And you pay him to be a star player, and he is a star player. And he's one of the most gifted bats offensively in the game. And obviously, like, it's the relationship has been not that great for the last few months, but you make it work with a player that good because you need great players to win. And he is an absolutely great player. He's a franchise altering talent. He's the guy that can get you to a World Series. And the Red Sox have had guys who have been issues in the past. Like Manny Ramirez was not like the perfect clubhouse guy. Nope. But they made it work with him, and they obviously benefited from it tremendously. And just, I think moving on from Devers, like they admitted a mistake. They believed that the situation was too far gone for them to really kind of overcome it. So they ended up moving on from Devers. And the only way that I will be like, okay, you know what? I understand it now, is if they go out in the offseason and they spend all the money that they have from Devers and put it into the roster, whether it's a Kyle Tucker or whether it's somebody in free agency. They already have an abundance of outfielders, so I don't necessarily know the fit there for Tucker, but we'll see ultimately what they do. But I really like the trade for the Giants, and I just question it from the Red Sox's perspective.
That's my problem. It shouldn't be Tucker based on the preponderance of outfielders. You're going to be trading some other, franchise icons. And I've seen comparisons to the Nomar trade. Nomar was not having the season that Devers was when he was traded. Like, there was friction that we didn't necessarily know about. Things were not as public in 2004. And the Red Sox had a clear championship caliber team at that point of veterans around Nomar Garcia Parra. I cannot wrap my mind around this being the best way to develop Christian Campbell, Marcelo Meyer, and Roman Anthony. After Boston said, we are not going to put pressure on them to be the saviors, now they are essentially saying, we are removing your in his prime centerpiece in the lineup. If we are going to stay in the wild card race and make additional moves at the trade deadline and get over, not just get to 500, but get over it, it's going to be because Anthony and Meyer went on heaters and Yoshida came back and was able to lead the team from the DH spot. And they probably still have to trade an outfielder, right? Like, there are too many outfielders here. So, in my opinion, there is no way to spin this as an immediate positive. It's Craig Breslow, bad personnel management, bad people skills, getting the Red Sox into a hole that was avoidable by not being able to massage the Bregman rumors and addition and getting this relationship to an untenable place. I don't know who mandated the way that was handled. I don't know if it's Breslow or ownership, but whoever set Devers off has to own this one, because I can buy the argument that it's a bad idea in a vacuum to pay this money to a DH for the next 8.5 years. I get it. And people tell, I think it's the Passan tweet said the Red Sox are underwater and executives agree that's a tough contract to justify. Not right now, man. Like, I just can't buy the idea that the Boston Red Sox, a franchise like that, a big market franchise like the Boston Red Sox, needs to worry about how underwater they're going to be in 5 or 6 years, paying a guy who could be David Ortiz right now for a team that's basically in the postseason. They're a half game out, and they're surrounded by a bunch of teams in the wild card race that I don't believe in, and that no one should really believe in over a full-strength Red Sox team. So that's where I'm at. They could certainly still compete for a wild card. They could still compete for the division. They're within that range. They're in that race, but they have less of a chance of doing so without Rafael Devers. And they're going to have to make a big fat splash at the trade deadline for pitching for me to really believe in them coming close to that ceiling now.
Yeah, and there's no doubting it. The Red Sox got worse with this trade. You can't spin it any other way. And yeah, Devers is just an elite talent. And if you look at it, you have Jordan Hicks, is going to be a bullpen piece for you. Kyle Harrison, he is tremendously talented, but he's been up and down between the minors and the majors, and he's fluctuated between the rotation and the bullpen. So he's talented, but he has not realized that potential quite yet. James Tibbs is obviously a very talented prospect, but prospects are basically lottery tickets. You don't necessarily know what you're going to get from him. And there's the other prospect too. I admittedly don't know that much about, but it makes them worse in the near term, and there's no way you can possibly spin it the other way. They're obviously, they wanted to move off of that asset endeavors and get rid of that contract. And I believe getting rid of that entire contract was a very important thing for them. And it's a message to the locker room that that front office means business and that anybody can be moved at any time. And clearly they were not happy with the comments that Devers was making privately and publicly, his displeasure with the being being asked to play a bunch of different positions defensively. Like, they just were not happy with the situation all around, and they felt like they had to make a move. I am really curious to see the reaction from that clubhouse from this, because I've said it on the podcast before and I'll say it again. When the Brewers traded Josh Hader, they were in the middle of a playoff hunt. And as soon as they ended up making that trade, they collapsed because the locker room was really, really, really upset. And Devers is a significantly more impactful player than Josh Hader is. And you trade your best player when you're being able to compete in a wild card race that is not necessarily that difficult as of this point. They're very much in it. They're coming off of a really good series against the Yankees. Like, vibes were high. And then they trade their best player, and he was taken off the plane, and then he went back to Fenway, got his car, and did not comment to the media at all when it was asked about it. Just overall, it was just a really shocking move. I'm surprised that the Red Sox made it. We'll see who is right in the next couple of years. But I don't like the move from the Red Sox unless there's more to come. And you would think there is, but are you going to move off from an outfielder? Are you going to add in the offseason? Are you going to add at the deadline? Like, what necessarily are you going to do? And also, too, like, RG up there makes a really good point. We don't know how long Alex Bregman's going to be in Boston.
Yeah,
that's another element to this thing as well. And you had that certainty with Devers there. And now you don't know how long Bregman's going to be there. Maybe an extension is coming, but that's not part of a Scott Boras game plan at all. He much prefers his players to have their value established on the open market. And Bregman's going to be out for a little bit longer too. So there's just a lot of questions here from the Red Sox overall. It's a hell of a trade. And it very well could define Craig Breslow's legacy in Boston, much like what happened with Chaim Bloom and the Mookie Betts trade with him there in Boston.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
As well.
They need to find a way to extend Bregman to end some of this uncertainty, but he is 31, turning 32 next year, and isn't the player that Devers is. An incredible signing this offseason, but I think Rafael Devers is a more impactful player. Although, yes, this year certainly close, and Bregman is going to be in the MVP conversation if he can come back healthy. But I'll take Devers. I'll take him to be more explosive moving forward, although Bregman on one side of the ball, clearly superior. That said, what are your expectations now for the Red Sox this summer? I mean, are we going to have to wait for next year and beyond and that offseason to see how they use this money? Or are we going to get a real retool? Like you said, this has to be a wake-up call to some players who may respond positively, some may respond shell-shocked, like after the Josh Hader trade. But anything has to be on the table now, because we've never seen anything quite so crazy on the table as this. So this year's deadline, do they go all in? Do they get that pitching? Or was this a signal that we're going to, you know, roll with what we got? We had to get rid of the problem in the house, and let's stay in house for now.
I don't know what the plan is going forward for the Red Sox. Like, they've kept it pretty under wraps. So I'll give them credit for that. But right now they're 37-36 and they're a half game out of the wild card spot there in the American League. But unless they end up doing something substantial, I'm really skeptical about what they're going to do this season. And a big part of it is, like, Devers was the face of the franchise. He was the guy that these young players could lean on. Guys like Roman Anthony, or even some of these other young players that they've called up, could rely on him to, like, have the brunt of the expectations on him. And they can end up being role players or guys who step up and have bigger roles throughout the season, or even during the playoff push. Now, immediately, Anthony, Marcelo Mayer, like all these young guys, are going to be asked to have such a bigger role in that franchise and be tasked with getting them into the postseason, and maybe even making a deep postseason run. We've seen, like, the Orioles struggle with that. We've seen the Tigers do really well with that. So there's mixed results here with how that can end up working out. But I'm really skeptical of the Red Sox's plan, at least for this season. We'll see ultimately what they end up doing the remainder of the next, four, five, 6 weeks for the deadline, because there's a lot of time left. It gives them time to game plan and figure out what's next. But Red Sox fans and everyone have a right to be skeptical, because we've seen this movie before with the Mookie Betts trade. We're seeing it now with the Rafael Devers trade. It's just, it's really unfortunate. And the fact that Devers gets to play against the Red Sox in the next few days is legitimately crazy timing. Overall, it's just, it's baffling. The Red Sox are operating like a small market team. They are an absolutely big market team. And the fact that they're operating like that and shedding salary just because they might not like a guy in the clubhouse, I don't get it. Devers is too talented of a player to do that with.
And this reminds me of the comments saying the shock of the Nomar trade and the emotions that come with it. It reminds me of the guy you mentioned earlier, the Manny Ramirez trade. But when they dealt Manny Ramirez, they got Jason Bay back and they borderline got better. Jason Bay carried them down the stretch that year. It was great in 09 too. And Manny went to LA and had Manny Wood, and it's a big old win-win. This, you listen to Carrabas and Section 10 and our friend Tyler Milliken, and they're talking about they kept waiting for Logan Webb to show up in the trade or something, where it's just like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't want to deal Devers. He's the face of the franchise. But at the very least, it's hard to get a higher upside return or pitching return than that. Meanwhile, the Giants come away with a superstar, a face of someone else's franchise, and they're going to throw him into the fire. He's going to be the bat they needed, but Matt Chapman's going to play third when he comes back healthy. Willie Adames is going to play short. First base is something the Giants need. They DFA'd Lamont Wade, but Devers wouldn't do it in Boston. Will he do it here? From the Giants' perspective, Buster Posey seems to be slow playing this and saying we're not talking about a position until he arrives. So we'll see how that sorts out. But from the Giants' perspective, you know the known quantity that you're getting. Do they keep building from here? I mean, what does their deadline look like? Or did they do the heavy lifting in June?
I think they did the heavy lifting.
Pretty heavy lifting, by the way.
Yeah. If they somehow have heavier lifting than this, I will give Buster Posey a lot of credit, because that would take a massive set of stones, if we're being real. But this was a move that the Giants felt like they had to make. And they believe that they're a World Series caliber team, especially if they got an offensive upgrade. And getting Devers, I mean, that's as big of an upgrade as you're going to end up getting at this time of the year. Like, I thought he could be available, but I didn't expect him to actually get moved, let alone this early. And it gives them a huge runway ahead of the trade deadline to see exactly what else they could possibly need. I would not be surprised if they still continue to try to add to the offense, because it's going to take an all hands on deck effort to catch the Dodgers or even the Padres. Both of them are very good. They're very talented and very deep. So it's not going to be easy for them at all, but they have the pitching to do it. They have a bullpen solid. Although like the ninth inning, Doval he's been up and down throughout his career. So you never know with him, but he's got really good stuff there. But their offense has been their issue this year, and scoring runs was an issue. And now getting Devers on board, and you compare him with Matt Chapman when he gets healthy, Willie Adames should be better. Ramos is emerged as a really important player there as well. They have pieces there for sure. So I think it's a phenomenal move. I don't think that they're done necessarily, but I wouldn't expect anything quite like this. But props to Buster Posey for pulling it off. Props to that ownership group for doing it, because they've been in the big game market for stars in the past. And they were on Bryce Harper. They were on Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton. Obviously, this one's different because it's a trade, but they were ultimately able to get it done. And he's in a locker room now where he knows Dom Smith, where he knows Willie Adames. He knows a bunch of other guys. And that locker room, especially after watching Buster Posey invest into the roster like he has, and also having a person like Buster Posey running the show there, that team is going to be incredibly motivated, and all eyes are going to be on the Giants going forward. And it's going to be a media circus when he ends up debuting against the Red Sox. I cannot even – or when he ends up having his first game against the Red Sox, I should say. It's going to be a circus in San Francisco, but it's going to be – the beginning of what they hope is the new era of Giants baseball. And it is a really, really, really cool feeling. So I'm happy for the Giants fans. I'm happy for that organization, because this is a huge, huge, huge move.
I should have seen this coming when the Dom Smith thing went down. I should have connected the dots, and that's on me. There is somebody, SF Giants guy on Twitter, June 10th, 6 days ago, 5 days before the trade, tweeted, "Time for Buster to trade for disgruntled Rafael Devers, I guess. Who are you, soothsayer? Are you Robert Source? I don't know." Robert, this has to be the craziest set of texts you have ever gotten from disbelieving executives and rival scouts and maybe even other players? Like, it's never been crazier than this, right? Like, what are the best reactions that you got from people who just put their jaws on the floor?
I'm not kidding you. I had, between the moment I broke the story and since now, I've probably gotten about 700 texts. I've gotten people around the game, such as executives, agents, players, scouts. I mean, you name it, just in total disbelief. And when I tweeted that yesterday, the first text that came in was from Fabian asking me, like, did you get hacked? And I'm like, no, did not get hacked, which, I mean, if that would have gotten hacked, that'd have been really unfortunate because that would have sucked. But nobody seemed to believe it. They were just in awe that the Red Sox would make a move of that caliber, not necessarily shop him around to see what the best value is that they could get for the player. Just people, like, the amount of like WTF texts that I got, are you hacked? Like, what the heck is going on? Just pure stunned reactions across baseball, and players across the game were just in awe of it as well. I talked to a few who were just absolutely just flabbergasted that the trade was made. Like, it's very rare you can see a star player of that caliber moved. But it happened. It was baseball's Luka trade, which I've got that comp from probably about, I'm not kidding you when I say about 30 people. It has been just a whirlwind of a stretch here. I know when this is all over and done with, I'm going to crash pretty hard because I barely slept last night. But it's been one of the coolest experiences in my entire career. And this is why I get into it. And I also, speaking of texts that I received, I want to give a shout out to Jeff Passan, John Heyman, Bob Nightingale. They all texted me yesterday and they were obviously stunned. The first text from Passan was, I can't read it on the show, but it was really cool because those guys have been super supportive of me throughout my entire career here. And especially Heyman, like, Heyman means the world to me. And within 30 seconds of tweeting it, he texted me saying, good job. And I asked him, have you confirmed it yet? And he said, no. I was like, oh, John, please confirm it. And then he was like, yeah, that's right. And tweeted it. And so it was a really cool deal and it was super rewarding, but I wanted to give those guys a shout out because we all compete against each other and they don't have to be nice to me, but they're always nice to me. So that was a cool deal. I just, props to those guys.
Yeah, you win this round, game recognized game. I couldn't believe it, especially because of the timing. I mean, were you eyeing the Giants and the Red Sox have been working on this sort of in silence for weeks. You mentioned that you thought maybe they could get a better package shopping around. Were there any other Devers destinations you were even hand on chin just thinking about, or you couldn't even get to that point because it was too hard to believe?
No, it was too hard for me to believe. And there was a report that there's some other teams that checked in on Devers. I can't remember the exact list. I can't confirm that.
Braves, Padres, Blue Jays, I think is the foul territory list.
Yeah, I would not doubt the Padres at all. Just because Preller checks in on anything and everything. I don't think they had the resources, especially financially, to get it done. Preller checks in on everything, so I'm not surprised that he checked in there, at least reportedly. The Braves, kind of curious on that one, although it makes sense because Anthopoulos likes to investigate everything as well. He does prioritize guys who are good locker room fits, and I didn't hear of any issues with Devers in the locker room before the defensive stuff ended up happening with Boston. So, I mean, maybe he identified a fit there. I'm not sure, but yeah, I'm not surprised by any of those teams being listed there. But the Giants got it done, and I don't think there was any team that was really close.
It seems like the stuff you hear out of the locker room, other than the position change stuff, is just he does not like to be the center of attention. He does not want to be a franchise face. And Willie Adames, someone he knows very well, is in San Francisco to maybe take some of that heat off. Buster Posey also might be the face of these Giants. So they are building his image. He is taking large swings, and it's hard to have a harder, larger swing than Rafael Devers, who, yes, as the comments say, will not be appearing in Yankee Stadium until 2027. That is just an accurate fact, and I will not be commenting anymore about that. Gerrit Cole will be in Yankee Stadium before Rafael Devers is. Still owns him, though. Well, let's just sign off with this. We are a month and a half out from the trade deadline. There is so much more to come. And if anyone is joining the Baseball Insiders for the first time today, and if you aren't in the Discord, you should get in there. This is the perfect time to be here with Robert Murray. If you had to guess now, and again, this is a top 20 player in baseball, so you'd have to imagine the answer is yes. Are we going to match the energy and excitement of the Devers trade at the deadline, ahead of the deadline? Is there anyone else on your radar who could move, who could even approach this peak in terms of movement, either just before or at the deadline this summer?
As of this point, I can't see it, but we'll see. Things can change very quickly, as we've seen here with Devers. So I wouldn't doubt it whatsoever, but I would recommend joining the Discord as well. I think we can put the link in the comments, at least hopefully. I was legit in there immediately after breaking the trade, talking about it, diving into what was going on behind the scenes, saying that I was not hacked, and just having a conversation with all these folks here. So join that, be part of an awesome community. I need to sleep. I am very tired. I do need to write a story. I'll do that first, then I'll go to sleep. But Adam, I appreciate you for doing the show with me. Everyone in the comments, I appreciate you, and I appreciate all the support. Because this has been coolest experience of my career so far. Not done by any means. Already working stuff for today and even maybe later on in the week. Nothing quite like the size of this, but just know I'm already working the phones because I'm already on to the next one.
We are too. We appreciate you being here to break it down today, though, because this one was monstrous and you deserve all the credit in the world. There's a reason why the world of baseball reporters are reaching out to you on this puppy. It's because it's a massive win for all involved, but specifically you and the San Francisco Giants, Red Sox, TBD, although you already see some conflicted fans in the comments saying glad he's gone. You're welcome to your opinion. I disagree with your opinion. Join us in the Discord where you cannot leak. If you are an exclusive Discord member, do not let information get out. But if Robert says he is not hacked after breaking a news story like this, that I would say you can leak. Tell your friends, no hack. The news is real. And there will be plenty of future discourse to come in there. So please become a member and please join our Discord multiple levels. There will be an exclusive Q&A with Robert on Thursday at 3:00 Eastern. We'll be back doing the show on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. And I would imagine that, yeah, there's probably going to be some Rafael Devers questions the next time we do a private Q&A. For Robert Murray, I am Adam Winder. Take care, everybody. And now, like Robert said, on to the next. See you Wednesday for more rumors. Bring your questions. Happy to answer them. Let's go.
Let's do it. Thank you, everybody.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.